Well, again, on behalf of Becky and the rest of the family, thank you for your deepest sympathies, your kind words, and your prayers. Today, as we celebrate the life, the remarkable life of this beloved Bob Faulkner, we'll not only look back in memory, but we'll also look forward in eager anticipation. Because of his faith in Jesus, the story of this beloved man of God, his husband, his father, his mentor, that friend has been so to so many of us, does not end here. The gospel guarantees that death does not and will not have the last word. I had the honor, the personal privilege, of talking with Bob on several occasions during the last 2 months of his life. It began when he texted me a short message back in early February. He said this: "Josh, Bob Faulkner here, would like to FaceTime with you in the near future, a little talk about eternity and the age to come." It seemed like a random text message to me. What would a mentor, a longtime friend, someone who I know who knew about all of these things, want to talk to me about? Well, over the next several weeks, we did what the author of Hebrews encouraged us to do. We encouraged one another all the more as we saw the day of the Lord approaching. As believers in Jesus, we reminded each other of the story of the gospel, all the way from the curse of death in the garden to the hope of resurrection when Christ returns to restore the heavens and the earth. After each conversation, I was amazed and often moved to tears at Bob's confidence just in everything that God had promised us through his word. In our very last conversation, just a few days before he breathed his last, with Becky and Truman and Mercy by his side, Bob said these words to me. He said, "It's such an honor. I can't believe we get to share moments like this to marvel at God's goodness." After a couple of moments of silence, I told him, I said, "Bob, at the end of the last call that we had, you said something that will forever be marked in my mind." He said, "I know that he is good. I will never forget those words." What made Bob such a unique man to me was this confidence. It was something that I had seen years earlier. It was remarkable to me that at 70 years old, his whole life behind him, his vigor slowly leaving him and his body decaying from cancer, that he had no regret or disappointment that his life was coming to an end. He was breathtakingly assured and optimistic in one thing above everything else, that his God was good and he would be faithful to raise him to eternal life and immortality on the day that Jesus returns. And so today, as we remember Bob's life, I want to remind myself, and I want to help you to remember, the central hope that Bob lived and died with. Today, I do not want us to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about Bob and our other loved ones in Christ who are asleep, that we would not grieve as others who have no hope. Yet, we do grieve. We do mourn. We lament. We mourn first because of our sin. We know we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We understand that by the scriptures, the wages of sin is death. And surely there's not a righteous man on earth who does not sin. Not one. Today we groan, man and beast subject to God's curse on all creation, subjected to futility. The Lord returns man to the dust from which he made us, saying, "Return, O children of man." The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They're soon gone, like a mist, like a vapor. Our lives vanish away. So this day is not altogether strange to us. Death is a reality that confronts every single one of us in this present evil age. The curse from God is in fact his design, his wisdom, his means of shattering our confidence in the flesh such that we would cry, just like King David did, "Lord, let me know my end. What is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath." And like Moses, we would cry, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." We mourn and lament today because Bob was not exempt from this curse. We grieve because God's command and decree to return to the dust means the loss of a dear husband, the loss of a dear father and a mentor and friend. It is good, it is right, that we mourn this loss and feel this loss deeply. It's God's reminder to us that all is not right in the world. This reminds us that every other hope apart from what God has guaranteed us in his word will disappoint us and leave us wanting. But as we feel this loss, let us remember that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. As Jesus exemplified this and wept with Mary and Martha at the death of his dear friend Lazarus, we know that he keeps count of our tossings. He puts our tears in his bottle, and he remembers that we are dust. So, though not exempt from the curse, precious still in the sight of the Lord is the death of our beloved father. But our true and our ultimate comfort does not come from the knowledge that Jesus merely weeps with us and records our laments in his book. The Lord has not made us drink this cup of mourning in vain, only to put his arm around us and say, I'm so sorry. Because on the day that he wept with Mary and Martha, he also uttered these glorious words. He said in John 11, your brother will rise again. Martha turns and says to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. For those with this same confidence and faith in Jesus as the promised seed, the promised king, and the God of Israel, there is an appointed end to this curse. Today, we grieve. Today, we mourn. Today, we're afflicted. Today, we may even despair of life itself. But Jesus also said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Therefore, through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, we do not grieve as ones who have no hope. Since we have the same spirit of faith as the psalmist and the apostles of Jesus, we believe and we speak boldly, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise Bob also. We watch and we pray for the sounding of the trumpet, when the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Because on the day when Jesus returns, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? Because of this great hope of resurrection, brothers and sisters, we must not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away and will all ultimately end up like Bob unless Jesus returns first, our inner man, our heart, our confidence, our faith is being renewed day by day. The afflictions we endure in this age are light and momentary. They're preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That's why we look not to the things of this age as our hope and reward, but to the things we do not yet see. We await Jesus' coming when death, sorrow, pain, and cancer are no more, and when God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed. We will see Bob again, and we will look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I am confident that on that day, Bob will say to me once again, it's such an honor. I can't believe we get to share in moments like this to marvel at God's goodness. That time, he'll say that a glorified body on a resurrected, restored earth with a crucified and resurrected King Jesus reigning from Jerusalem in righteousness. Brothers and sisters, life forevermore, resurrection, immortality is the hope held out in the gospel. May we heed the instruction of Paul when he writes to the Thessalonians regarding their loved ones who had died. When he said, for the Lord will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let us remember that God has given us his Holy Spirit as the guarantee of this glorious future on this very earth for those who repent and believe. The sufferings and the pain of this present age are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us. But that day is not today. until that great day dawns and the morning star rises, we wait with eagerness and patience. We let patience have its work that we may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing on that day. We await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. He will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Because we see him and we know his story, we set our hope completely, fully, on the grace that will be revealed to us on that day. Now, I believe one of the greatest ways that we can honor Bob's memory is by imitating his faith and his manner of life. Bob was a woodworker and a painter by trade, a really good one. And as the Apostle Paul encouraged the Thessalonians, Bob aspired to live quietly, minding his own affairs and working with his hands, not having dependence on anyone. Bob's greatest impact was on us through his example, through his words, his loyalty, his love. Not only was he a hearer of the word, but he was a doer of the word. He loved his family so well, laying down his life in love for his wife as Christ loved the church. We could all share a thousand stories of his work of faith and his labor of love and his steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought to share those stories with one another. So as we reflect and remember today on the ways that he pointed us to Jesus, let us encourage one another to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, to be ready to share, to imitate him as he imitated Jesus, thus storing up treasure for ourselves as a good foundation for the age to come, that we too may take a hold of that which is truly life at the coming of the Lord. As he did, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us look unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith. Bob has finished his race of faith, triumphant, victorious, holding full assurance of hope until the end. And there is laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award him on that day. Not only to him, but to all also who have loved Christ's appearing. We honor Bob by standing firm in this confidence in the face of persecution, in the face of suffering, in the face of death. May we remain steadfast in trials and afflictions, for when we have stood the test, we will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Just as we bore the image of the man of dust, Adam, so we shall bear the image of the man of heaven, Jesus, the firstborn from the dead. This is our future if we continue in the faith as Bob did, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel as the apostles proclaimed it. So, brothers and sisters, stand fast in this confidence. Hold firm to this trustworthy word. Let us look forward to our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The resurrection is the hope that Bob lived and died with. It was his eager expectation and hope that he would not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, Christ would be honored in his body, whether by his life or by his death. As we hold to the hope that Bob did, Christ is honored even in his death. For he knew that his Redeemer lives, and at last he will stand upon the earth. He knew that even after his skin is destroyed, yet in his flesh, he would see God. So if you are here today and you don't have this hope, this confidence, this blessed assurance, I plead with you to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. You will be saved. Fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. God has fixed a day when he will judge the world in righteousness, and there's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from the wrath of God. For on a very real day in our future, God will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Today, the Lord is patient, not willing for anyone to perish on that day, but that all would reach repentance. On that day, it's going to be amazing. But the God of Israel came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He took on our frame and he died the death we deserved. He hung on a cross in our place and for our sins. And he rose again on the third day, victorious over sin and death, as proof that God will be faithful to everything he's promised in the scriptures. A day is coming when those who sleep in the dust of the earth, like Bob does now, shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness, like Bob did, will shine like the stars forever and ever. So I plead with you, call on the Lord Jesus, repent, and believe in the gospel. But for those of us who do believe, as Bob did, let us call to mind the steadfast love of the Lord, which never ceases. He is our portion, and therefore we hope in him. For what can man do to us? What can separate us from this love that is as strong as death? Because of his sinless life, his horrific death, and his glorious resurrection, Jesus, the King of Israel, death has lost its power and its sting. And so let us remember that our mourning will be turned into everlasting joy. All who look to him will be radiant, and our faces will never be covered with shame. We say with the psalmist, as Bob so often said, Psalm 100, "For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations. For from him, to him, and through him are all things. To him and him alone be the glory, both now and forevermore. We wait with eagerness and patience, and we say, come, Lord Jesus." So may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, may he comfort our hearts and establish them in every good word and work. God of Israel, do this for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.